Welcome, students and listeners, to The Future is Community, a community development podcast series that I started in my undergraduate course at Washington State University. In this series, we explore and discuss the future of community development from a wide range of perspectives and disciplines, with the hope of developing most appropriate practices and strategies to best address the wide range of community needs locally and globally. I am your host, Dr. Caitlin Bletcher, and in today's episode, I am joined by my friend and colleague, Dr. Houston Gibson. Dr. Gibson is an associate professor at Kansas State University in the Department of Landscape, Architecture, and Regional and Community Planning. Houston, welcome to The Future is Community.
Thank you. Thank you, Caitlin.
So before we get started, I want to give a bit of context for our listeners about how we met. So obviously, you and I met on the Community Development Society Board of Directors. We served on the board together. But really, I think that what bonded us together was really our love for the city of Portland. And you bring your graduate students here to Portland, Oregon every summer, or you have previously during the summertime, to explore sustainable community.
10 years in a row, yeah.
Yeah. And you explore sustainable community development, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Absolutely. I think that that is the best place, starting point, at least, for our friendship that happened was over the city of Portland.
Absolutely. And I'm wearing my Shamrock Run shirt today from a past, I guess this was the virtual run from last March. Yeah. We come every March and we come out. It's a group of about 40 students studying landscape architecture, and then also students studying regional community planning. And so I bring out the planning students, and we talk to firms and people that work for the city and in different capacities and NGOs about community development and sustainable development and planning initiatives. So absolutely, it's been a great place to revisit every year.
Absolutely. So stemming from that experience, or you can draw from other areas of your professional career, what is the future of community development?
Well, that's a big, broad, good question. And, the ultimate answer is I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball, of course, but I have a few thoughts on the matter. And when I first started going to Portland with the group, it was interesting because I went to school at Florida State University, where I did my PhD, and then I started working as an assistant professor in Manhattan, Kansas. And I had never been to Portland, but I had read about it many, many times in planning books and through planning journals. And the first year I was on faculty here, which was about 2010, we were in a big faculty meeting, and the department head said, "Was anyone would like to volunteer to take students on a trip to Portland this year? Because the students really want to go." And I about fell out of my chair. I said, "I'll do it." And I was like, "Well, this is a great way to go to Portland, and we'll have a good time." And luckily, I had a friend that had recently moved to Portland that was a planner there for a firm, and so I had some connections already kind of in the works, and I wrote a little piece when I first got back for our local planning chapter, for our local chapter of the American Planning Association, which is APA Kansas. And it was a reflection about some of the lessons I learned in Portland that I could bring back to Kansas. And I want to start there because I think it helps answer the question. So one of the things I learned by being an outsider visiting that had never been, but had read so much literature about how, Portland is this mecca of wonderful planning initiatives and community initiatives, and realize that it is, but also it's not perfect. And the way it is today isn't the way it always was. And, the fact that so many bikes went across bridge A, B, or C on a given day today, it didn't look like that in the 80s. I mean, that's not how it was. And the fact that there was the light rail and the streetcar and people use public transit, that, again, it didn't look like that. If you go back to the 80s, it looked more like Kansas City than it does Portland today. And it had a lot of the same issues of suburbanization and sprawl. And one of the things I learned from that is that Portland, according to the folks that gave us the tour while we were there, tried a lot of things. And some things they got right and some things they got wrong. But the idea that if you try things, you're going to fail sometimes, but don't be afraid to fail. If you step out of that comfort zone, you might fail 9 times, but then you get one right. And then, oh my gosh, you've just improved your city, improved your community. And so I think cities and communities, particularly in my part of the world, in the Great Plains, tend to be very hold their ground in the way, well, we do this because we've always done it this way. And even if it's not working, this is the way we've always done it. Well, what do you mean take away parking? We can't, what do you mean add a bike lane? Like we can't do that. That's not how we've ever done it. Where Portland had that more kind of, let's see what happens. And maybe it'll work, maybe it won't work attitude. And that's what I wrote about when I came back. And what's interesting to me, and the reason I wanted to start there is because I feel like COVID and what all of the negative impacts that we're having from that, from society and economic, the one of the silver linings is that we're starting to see people pushed out of their comfort zone and trying new things. And I'll give you an example from my hometown here in Manhattan, Kansas. Last month, the city commission unanimously, and first of all, the split of the city commission is 3-2, very polar politically, and it doesn't matter which way. It just know that they're not everyone is the same political beliefs in terms of ideology. But a unanimous vote to approve outdoor platform dining downtown. And they're going to put these platforms where the parallel parking is now on Main Street. And they're going to take up 3 or 4 spaces, and they're going to have platforms out there. And it's going to be across the sidewalk where people can bring out a beer and bring out a sandwich and people can work there. And I know that's not a radical idea because I've traveled around and I know that platform dining and outdoor dining spaces around this country are all over the place. And they've been there for decades. So this is not a radical idea for the U.S., but it is for Kansas. The fact that this was approved unanimously is just mind-blowing to me. And the fact that we took away parking spots so that we could have people dining there, again, not a radical idea for someone in Portland perhaps, but extremely, extremely radical for Manhattan, Kansas. And I don't think we could have had this conversation a year or two ago. The idea of taking away a parking spot would have shut down the entire conversation. But now, because of COVID, it was brought to the commission from the assistant city manager and then the director of the downtown development program, the kind of the Main Street program downtown. And it was and they brought it, but it was really a grassroots driven by the restaurant tiers and the owners of businesses. So they're saying, we got to do this because we need ways to service the service people so that they can make money, right? And especially right now during fall, during college season, and you can only sit every other table and there's some distancing guidelines. So by adding the space, it allows them essentially to stay in business. And our Main Street is, I don't know if there's any chains. It's all local restaurants. It's all local businesses. And so, you know, these are local businesses and we need to do this to stay in business. And not only did they approve it, they fast-tracked it. It's going to be in place by October. And the city paid for it. The city paid for it out of the EcoDevo funds. They put up the guidelines and the city paid for it. And the architect put up a cheap version, a middle version, and a nice version. And they paid for the nice version because they wanted to reuse them in the future.
And where did those funds come from?
Economic development funds. We have a special economic development tax, a sales tax that goes in the downtown district. And so there's a pot of money. And so they paid for them and they're going to be rolling them out. They're going to be building the nicer version instead of the cheap version so that they can reuse them. They're going to put them away in the winter. and then they're going to bring them back out in the spring, and they're building them for a life of approximately 5 years. And it just, honestly, it blew my mind, because you have to understand the mindset of Kansas. And like, that is not the mindset of Kansas. That proposal would have been shut down a year ago. And so I think the one thing, so going back to the question about, and I have nothing, I'm just an outsider. I just watched the whole proposal on the local public meeting, you know, network at 9 o'clock at night on a Tuesday. So I had nothing to do with this. It's just an observation, but it's that idea that we're going to try it. And they even said things of, this might not work. It might work great. It might not work. Maybe we'll use it this fall and it won't work. And we'll chop them up and do something else with them. Maybe it'll work great. We'll do it again next fall. And so the idea of trying things and stepping out of your comfort zone, I think while there were places that were already doing that, COVID has forced the hand of some more reserved communities out of necessity. And I think we're going to see more of that. And so it's a wonderful opportunity, in my opinion, for creativity. And I think we need more creativity, because we don't need to just do it because town B did it. You know, we need to do it because we need to do it, and we need to try it. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. And if it does work, then great, let's keep doing it. So I think the future of community development is creativity. It's less barriers. It's kind of more helping this creativity take place as opposed to regulating it away. Because the only reason it wasn't done before is because the regulation said it couldn't. It's not because the restaurant owners didn't want to do it.
That's fascinating. It's almost like the community that you're describing is really now in a growth mindset, is like saying that, you know, we might not get it right the first time, but we're going to try it again. And this isn't the way that, you know, it has to be forever. And that's really interesting how COVID has really pushed from a fixed to more of this growth mindset. Do you think that, and COVID meaning specifically in this situation, it was the decline of the local businesses and restaurants, like economically speaking, like we need to do something. So we need to shift this mindset. And do you feel like, as some of these students are interested in going into community development across a wide range of different disciplines, do you think that, or what advice would you give to kind of foster that mindset that, you know, trial by error, and it's going to be okay if it doesn't work this time around, and that creativity, like how do you foster that in a community that might not be quite as receptive in some cases? Like, how do you do that?
Well, I think what impressed me about this is while it was presented to the commission, it was a co-presentation by the assistant city manager and then the director, the community, kind of a community development professional that was a director of downtown development.
And the
way they presented it, but it was when it started to get a little initial kind of pushback from the commission, because it did, it still had the, well, can we really afford to lose parking? You know, it's like, well, and the fact that they could take it backwards and say, this was the idea that was workshopped by the owners of the businesses. And so it wasn't their idea. It wasn't the downtown executive director's idea. It wasn't the city manager, assistant city manager's idea. It was the business owner's idea. And so, and they had done this in a workshop, and they had really done this from the bottom up, where they went, when this kind of first started happening and back in March and April, sat down with the local business owner and said, what can we do? What can we do to help you? And so by the time it got to the presentation mode, it had great buy-in by the community. So, the community was on board. And so it'd be pretty hard at that point to not allow it. Right.
Yeah.
And so it was like, so it was that the community was on board, the community was there, and it was the person presenting it was just presenting it on behalf of the community. So I think that, and that's, nothing new. That's nothing novel for community development. The grassroots, the public input. It's like you don't go in there and solve it with your great idea necessarily. You go in there and you work with the community to find out what their great ideas are and what they need. And then you help them package that and yeah. take it to the decision makers in this case. And so I think she did a textbook move. Right? And I think that would be, you know, from, you could find a community development textbook that's 20 years old that will tell you that.
Yeah.
But I think this plays further. I think, I don't know the answer, the bigger answer in terms of that, how to not to be afraid to fail, because I feel like this wouldn't have happened in a different circumstance. If this same presentation and the same procedure had happened a year ago, I don't think they would have done it. But when people get, I mean, what's the phrase? Desperate times call for desperate measures. And I mean, when your choices are do something completely radical that you would never allow that might not work, or keep doing what you're doing and guarantee that it's not going to work because these businesses are going to go out of business. And I think the fact that 1 month before this presentation, one of our long-standing legacy downtown fancy restaurants, which was a really nice steak restaurant that you go to when, you know, you have something to celebrate, like a graduation or something of that nature, closed their doors.
Wow.
And they closed their doors and they said, they own like 3 restaurants in town. So they only closed that one, but that high-end restaurant, they're like, we can't make the numbers work. And we were struggling before COVID, and COVID has pushed us just fast forwarded that. And you see that in restaurants all across the country. I've seen that. That's not unique to town, but the fact that there was this real example of the status quo isn't going to work. That was what it took in this case to kind of shake it up. But what I'm hoping is that because towns, and this is just an example, but I'm hoping that because different places all across the country are trying all these new things, and you see it on Twitter, on Facebook. I mean, you see that everyone's trying new stuff. We're repurposing streets for people, you know, instead of cars. It's like, oh my gosh, what a novel idea. And so we're doing all these things. And I think we're going to find out 6 months from a year from now that some of that stuff is pretty cool and some of that stuff works and some of it didn't, and that's okay. But I'm hoping that openness and that creative mindset, which I know has been present in Portland for a while, but hasn't been in other places, I'm hoping that will remain.
Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes it takes, like you mentioned with that one particular business, sometimes it takes a little bit of that pressure and bubbling or some type of crisis, or you mentioned, you know, contradictory to the status quo. It takes some of that in a community to start facilitating change, enough for the community to speak up about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, great. Thank you so much for, that was a great answer, and you provided a great example, and especially as the first person on the Future is Community podcast, I appreciate your insights and your direction. Before we end though, I'm going to be doing a series of, and I'm sorry, I didn't warn you for this one, so this will be fun.
Okay.
But just a series of just rapid questions that are kind of fun that give our students and our listeners a little idea of who you are.
Okay.
So, you ready for this?
Yeah.
All right. First question. What toothpaste do you use?
I use Crest, like the original Crest.
The original
Crest. Yeah, like just the plain normal Crest.
Plain normal Crest. All right. Next question. What's your favorite smell?
Ah, oranges. I don't know. That just popped in my head. I have no idea why.
No, it's refreshing. I like it. Next question. If this current chapter of your life was a beverage, what beverage would it be?
I hope it would be a beer.
I would too.
Yes.
Next question. What's currently on your bedside table?
On my bedside table. Honestly, I think there's a bunch of masks sitting there. That's where I dump my clean masks. So when I wake up in the morning, I don't forget them.
It's very timely, very timely. Last question. If you could say one word that you feel like encompasses who you are as a community development professional, what would that one word be?
That's a good one. Middle ground. I try, and it's not easy because you always have opinions, but I try very hard to see multiple sides of a situation, because one thing I've noticed with community development, it's always, there's always different opinions about whether this is a good thing or a bad thing. Right. And so I try really hard to understand each of those opinions, to the best I can. So I try to be in the middle, middle.
Yeah. A very, very important quality and characteristic of a community developer. Great. So thank you again so much, Houston, for joining us today. To all of our students and listeners, see you next time on The Future is Community.